Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Our guest this evening is Dan Ritter, president and founder of the Kosher Wine Society. Aaron has founded KWS in 2005, since it has risen to become synonymous with the best kosher wine workshops, presenting potables from around the world, expert speakers, and food and wine pairings, including at various venues such as New York's most prestigious kosher restaurants. Good evening, Aaron.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Aaron.
Good evening. Could you hear me?
Good evening, Aaron.
Good evening. Could you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Fantastic.
Okay, so tell us a little bit how you got started on the Kosher Wine Society. What brought about, you know, that idea suddenly?
Well,
what are your qualifications?
In 2005, I was working as a CPA at a mid-sized accounting firm in New York City. And I have a lot of friends of mine who would drink wines. We would go out to different restaurants. And there was nothing out there for a kosher wine consumer. There were no events. There was no wine education classes. There was really just nothing available. And in 2005, I decided to create the Kosher Wine Society, and it's evolved and changed, and it's an exciting endeavor because there's so much to do on the kosher wine world, and it's a phenomenal time to be enjoying kosher wines.
Well, I remember when I first came to this country in 1962 from South America, from Montevideo, Uruguay, where my father used to produce 400 bottles of wine per year and bottle them 3 weeks before Pesach, mostly for our own consumption. After all, in South America, you do not sit down to lunch without a bottle of vino at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And the few remaining bottles would go to some of the local Rabbonim and some very close friends. The choices at the time when I came here, as well as my father's own wines were extra sweet and even sweeter. Had I tried to drink any of those wines today, it would probably kill me.
Yeah, you know, the joke used to be
if you want a wine to be kosher, pour out half of it, fill it up with sugar, and now you have a kosher wine.
Well, it's not like that anymore.
Thank God. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. Since then, kosher wines have gone around to become some of the most award-winning wines in the world. So
Absolutely. Let
us talk a little bit about how Israel's wine industry evolved, how it got its start, considering that next week is Yom Ha'atzmaut. Let's honor Israel by talking about its wine industry.
Yeah, fantastic. I was just in Israel 4 weeks ago, and I had a phenomenal trip. I tasted over 100 wines at 15 different wineries.
Wow.
You know, Israel has come a long way, and it's an incredible story. They've been growing grapes in Israel since the 1800s, late 1800s, when Baron Edmund Rothschild brought over clones and grapes from France. And mainly for the last, you know, before the last 30 years, it was only sacramental Kiddush wines like you were talking about. They were the wines that you would serve on your Shabbat table, but that was it. They didn't do anything else. They didn't produce any other wines besides that. And in the last 30 years, starting with Yarden Winery, they've really tried to improve the quality of the wines, the quality of the grapes. The winemakers traveled to France, to Italy, to UC Davis in California to learn how to make wine. And they,
right.
you know, they came back to Israel, all these young winemakers. And in the last 30 years, you've seen an explosion of Israeli wines, an explosion of good quality kosher wines coming from Israel. And it's really, you know, it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be in the kosher wine market, the Israeli wine market, because there is just so much available out there in terms of good quality wines. And it's an exciting, you know, just an exciting time.
During my time in Israel from 68 to 77, there were basically only two real wineries. One, of course, was Carmel, which in those days was the major winery, and none of the wines were that impressive compared to its European counterparts. The other one was a very, very mediocre winery called Ikave Elias. Elias, of course, underwent some changes, and today it's Beniamina producing some of the greatest wines, like, for example, Amara, the Cave, which is a superb wine by any standard that just happens to be kosher.
Correct.
Now, tell us about some of the wineries that you visited and some of the wines you like the best.
So, you know, we did a couple of different days. We did a Zichron Yaakov region where we went to the Carmel winery. That's what the winery you were just talking about. We also did go to Binyamina. We went to Tishbe, which is a family-owned boutique winery.
Right, Jonathan Tishbe.
We also went to Recanati as well. So, you know, we really hit that region very hard. We tasted some phenomenal wines from them. We tasted some from Carmel, like the Kerem Ben Zimra from Carmel. We also, we did a phenomenal, interesting tasting at Tishbe. It's a, we did a chocolate pairing. And we paired up different chocolates with different wines, seven, eight different wines with eight different types of chocolates. And it was truly phenomenal. It was a really great experience to pair up the flavors of the chocolates with the wines. And it was the whole experience in Zichron, that region, is really a lot of fun. We also went up north where we went to the Galil Mountain Winery, which is a beautiful, beautiful winery right on the border. Incredible views. It's a winery that's run by five people. They produce over 1 million bottles of wine a year.
Wow.
And, yeah, they have a very, very slim operation that's owned by Yarden, is a big owner of it. They're a percentage owner of the winery. We also went to the Yarden Winery as well, which is a phenomenal winery, a great place to visit. They have a great tourist center. And we spent a good amount of time in northern Israel. Some of the small boutique wineries that we saw were Har Odem, Odem Mountain Winery, which is a fantastic, fantastic winery. And we ended in Jerusalem, Judean Hills, with Castel and Tsuba, and a lot of other good wineries.
Have you tried Yatir?
We did not go to Yatir. It did not make our list and our schedule. It's a phenomenal winery. I love their wines. It's a very nice visitor center as well. But we did not have a chance to go down there. It would have been a nice little journey south. And we just did not have the time.
I would have liked
to
hear your impressions of the Yatir Forest.
The Yatir Forest is one of the best wines available right now coming out of Israel.
Right.
You also have Castel, which is which is also a phenomenal wine, which we had a chance and privilege to taste and visit and see.
Now, besides the wine, what about the liquors that are produced in Israel? Have they had the same success as the wines, or do they still have a far way to go?
They have a very far way to go. There aren't too many Israeli liquors that are available. There are liquors that are available. There are liqueurs that are available, but the liquors are not there yet, and they have a long way to go on that side. There were quite a few boutique beer makers, and that was a very unique and interesting experience as well, tasting some of these beers, butterfly beer coming out of Israel, which is very, very cool.
Interesting. Now, excuse me, I'm sorry, I still have a cold. I've been nursing this cold for almost 2 weeks. Anyway.
Vitamin C and wine.
Yes.
Vitamin C and wine, you have to mix them together.
Vitamin C and wine. Okay, I'm willing to try that.
I was told once that if you take wine and you you take a little frying pan and heat up some wine, it is very good for colds. But I don't know that from fact. That might be a wise tale.
I'm willing to try. Looking at my personal collection, there are quite a few I'm dying to try at any excuse. That sounds like a perfect excuse. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the Kosher Wine Society, some of the past events, some of the upcoming events.
Absolutely. So, you know, the Kosher Wine Society has been around for 5 years. We've done a tremendous amount of events in the last 5 years, close to probably 150 events, all different sizes, all different types, from a wine 101 to a an event with 150 people, 200 people. So it's really been a broad range of different events that we've done. We've done Scotch tasting events with McAllen, Glenmorangie. We're doing an Isle of Arran tasting next week, which is a one of the newest scotches coming out of Scotland. It's a very, very unique story.
And you're doing that one at the Solo Restaurant.
Correct, at Solo Restaurant, yep. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a broad range of different events, private wine tasting events. We've done, obviously, a lot for organizations and charities and synagogues. So we've done just a lot of different things.
And when did you start running your Israeli winery tours?
This was our first year. This was our first year that we did it. This past March. It was a phenomenal experience. We're going to keep them very limited in size, max 10 people that can come to an event like that. Just because we really want it to be personalized. We want it to be a very unique experience for everybody. This is not something that's mass marketed. There's a lot of mass marketed things that are available to do, and they usually maybe go to a winery. But this is definitely more boutique. This is definitely more for the person that can handle 3-4 wineries a day for 5 days. So it's a big undertaking. It's not something that's light.
I understand. Not for the feeble hearted, I take it.
Exactly. But, it's about having a great time experiencing Israel in a way that you really, when you go on a big tour, you can't experience it like this. You can't really meet the winemakers, speak to the owners, have a conversation with people that you normally just would never have a chance to meet with. So it's an incredible opportunity on that side.
And if you have any questions, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call at 714-333-3357. That's 714-333-3357. Our guest this evening is Aaron Richter, the founder and president of the Kosher Wine Society. Aaron, let's talk a little bit more about some of the, you said you tasted 100 different wines. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the top wines that you've tasted.
So I had a privilege to taste from the Yarden Winery. I'm actually going to get out some notes that I took because it was just a tremendous amount of wines. And to really give it justice, I'm going to open up a little bit, some of my notes so that I can I can share them. So, this is from the Yarden Golan Heights Winery. We tasted their Katsrin 2007. Now, the Katsrin is their highest level wine, or one of the highest level wines that they have. It's a 91% Cabernet, 9% Merlot. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal wine. Usually retail for like $125, somewhere in that range. We also tasted their Yarden Yonatan Vineyard, which is a 2007, also a phenomenal wine. And their Gewurz. Gewurz Kaminer is a grape that is a German varietal grape. It's done very well in Israel, the grape varietal. And
How does the Gewurz Kaminer from Israel compare with the German or the Alsatian Gewurz Kaminer?
The grapes are growing very well in Israel right now. So it's a this was a dessert wine. It was a sweet type of late harvest Gewurz, and it was a fantastic, fantastic tasting wine. A couple other noted wineries that we tasted were there's a new kosher winery. Has not been kosher yet. It's called Flam, F-L-A-M, winery. Right now they have two kosher wines. They have their rosé, and I believe it's their rosé, which is a Cabernet Franc. They also have it's like a Chardonnay blend. And what's unique about this winery is that it's a very, very Italian-style winery. It's very Tuscan. And so what's amazing is when you go through Israel, a lot of the wineries have taken on their culture from different areas. So some of them, like Castel, is a very French varietal, French-style type of wine. And Flam is a very Italian-style type of wine. And it's all based on the winemaker, where the winemaker came from, how the winemaker thought of doing his grapes. So it was just a unique type of winery. They've just gone kosher in the last pretty much six months to a year. Their first vintages are out now. They're coming to the U.S. And also a unique experience. The other wine that's also is very, very nice is the Bravda Winery. It's a boutique, very boutique winery. What's great about the winery is that, to get into the winery, you have to travel through probably a mile of vineyards to get to the winery.
Wow.
So, you're driving
through
these.
It must be an incredible view.
Incredible. It's really incredible. You're driving through just a dirt road, and then you get to this, shed and tent, and that's really the winery. So it's very unique, very interesting. They have three wines that they're four wines. They have a Chardonnay, 2010 Chardonnay. They have a Shiraz. They have a Cabernet, and they have a Coupage. It's a blend. And that was probably the 100th wine that we tasted was that Coupage. So it's kind of stuck out in our minds. My mind, at least.
Well, I remember tasting Coupage at the Gotham's event, when they did it at the West End Institutional, and I was really, really surprised by it. It was a superb wine.
Yep.
And certainly tasted better than it, more expensive than its price would suggest.
Absolutely. It's a delicious, delicious wine.
Mm-hmm.
The other winery that we went to that was also very, very unique and different was a Tsuba Winery. And the Tsuba Winery has been around in the U.S. for a little while, but very unique type of wines. They make they actually sell their grapes to Castel, so they're the growers for Castel Winery, and you know Castel is the number one, probably one of the number one, two or three winery in Israel. Depends how you want to look at it, but you know Tsuba, they have a fantastic 2009. Chardonnay that we tasted, a Shiraz 2008, and Mitsuda 2006, which was aged for 24 months, French oak barrels. Really phenomenal type of wine.
Very nice. Now, tell us a little bit about the tasting impressions themselves. For example, let me explain what I'm driving at. Did you taste any wines from grapes grown on the Judean hills?
Yes.
Now,
yeah, you know, each region has you know unique flavors and unique flavor profile.
Right.
So you know what's great about Israel is that there are so many microclimates. There are so many different elevations and different areas and
different
mountainous
terroirs, right? Whether it's chalk, whether it's terra rossa, whether it's volcanic.
Exactly.
Now, for example, I usually find that the Judean hills give you a little bit of that smoky aftertaste, which the first time I ever tasted it, I found interesting. But now I'm actually going to really like it. I almost look forward to it.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your impressions of the different wines, your tasting impressions of the different wines.
Yeah, you know, based on the specific areas, there's always going to be categories that make it similar. You know, from my experience, a lot of Israeli wineries tend to have a very pepperish type of taste. So if you can imagine green pepper as a flavor profile, a lot of Israeli wineries have that flavor profile. It has to do with the terroir that you're talking about. It has to do with the flavor profile, and it has to do with a lot of you know, based on the region and the area where it's grown. But for my experience, a lot of Israeli wines have that tasting profile and have that flavor. For me, it's tastes like green pepper.
Well, last night, for example, we had a Tishbe Cabernet Sauvignon, and the first impression that I got was black currant and vanilla. Obviously, it's done in French oak barrels. Then, of course, as I drank it, I could almost detect some minerals, and yes, what you said about the green peppers also.
Correct. Yep, that green pepper profile and that taste, you know, you definitely get a lot of the currants and other flavors that are you know, not uniquely characteristic of Israel, but uniquely characteristics of wine in general. You get that fruit forward, a lot of fruits and currants and, you know, exactly what you're talking about, that, you know, in white wines it could be that that apple pear type of flavor. In red wines, it's more of that strawberry fruit bomb flavor profile. So it's not necessarily region specific, although I'm sure there are people that can make a case out of it. But what I'd like to say that wine is a very, very personal journey.
Absolutely.
And what I can taste in a wine, possibly someone else can't taste in a wine. And what I smell in a wine, possibly someone else can't smell that in a wine. So it's a very, very personalized journey. You really need to just try a lot of different types of wines. You know, it's always, when you're just starting out tasting wines, taste a lot of them, start to look for some similarities of what you do like. So if you like the Cabernet, start trying Cabernets from Israel, California, you know, different regions. Try those Cabernets and see if you like them, see if you
and
don't.
And you'll find some serious differences between them, even though they may be the same, nominally the same grape.
Correct. It has to do with the winemaker, it has to do where it's grown, and it has to do with the type of grapes it are, you know, grapes they are.
Now, let me ask
the
you one question.
The quality of the grapes. Yes.
Let me ask you one question. As a rule, if you were to take a French wine and the same grape grown somewhere in Israel, you would detect a tremendous difference. In fact, the style of the Israeli wine, as a rule, is not the same as the French style. Now, aside from the fact that there are tremendous differences in climate, tremendous difference in terroir, can something be done with the science of viticulture to make the Israeli wine, for example, taste more French?
Well, there are specific wineries that are attempting to do that. So you have a winery like Castel.
How successful are they? Yeah.
You have a winery like Castel, which has their Grand Vin, which is a very French, the Grand Vin and the Petite Castel, and their Chardonnay, very, very similar French-style type of wines.
You mean, tell me, for example, that on a blind tasting, you would you might confuse them with the French wines?
I would say it's a possibility. A lot of the French wines that you taste have a lot of earthy characteristics, a lot of that dirt, leather type of flavor profile. The Israeli wines tend to be a little bit more fruitier, a little sweeter. Not, when I say sweet, it's the fruitiness, the fruit bomb, fruit forwardness. It's not the sweetness, it's the fruit forwardness. You know, so there are wineries that are definitely trying to do that. You have Carmel as well, that their limited edition is a blend of different grapes. The Coupage is also a blend from Bravda.
Right.
So you have a lot of different wineries attempting to do very unique things with their wines, make them in the same type of style as a French wine, as an Israeli wine, as a, you know, so there's a lot of different, what's amazing right now in Israel is that there's so much opportunity. There's so much, the winemakers have studied in, you know, UC Davis, have gone away to different countries.
Right. For example, one of the winemakers at Benyamina, Asaf Paz, went to UC Davis, also studied in France. Now,
exactly.
We have exactly 50 seconds to go. Let us recapitulate a little bit about the Kosher Wine Society and their event. Where can people contact you?
Yeah, so the best way to contact us is kosherwinesociety.com, kosherwinesociety.com. If you want to call us, we have a phone number, 646-484-WINE, W-I-N-E. And our
repeat
event
it again,
week,
please.
646-484-WINE, and it's kosherwinesociety.com.
Okay, now remember that when you give the number as letters, some of today's phones, that's problematic.
9463.
All right, because if you have, for example, something like a BlackBerry, the numbers do not correspond to those of the regular phones.
Agreed. Agreed.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on the call. The next event is Tuesday night, the 10th. And it's going to be at solo restaurant. You must reserve a seat ahead of time. And
right.
We're having five different scotches paired with a four-course meal with some appetizers to start. It's going to be a very fun evening, a good amount of drinking, and a good amount of education on Scottish scotches in the Isle of Arran, which is a brand new scotch coming out of our Scotland right now.
Okay, and we hope to see you all there. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being our guest. Thank you, Aaron, and good night
to
one and all.